John chapter number 14. And as you already know, John, the writer of this epistle, is trying to show or to prove the divinity of the God-man, Jesus Christ. As John writes, he is talking about a period of time in which Christ has resurrected. And he comes and he speaks and he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Many of you already remember or have memorized this verse of Scripture. You know, Jesus is, according to the book of John, is God wrapped in human flesh. It's the Word who came to be wrapped in human flesh for us. He is the God-man. We've taken a look over the last couple of weeks and we realize that Jesus said of himself, "I am the good shepherd." He also said in John 8:12, "I am the light." We know that he also said, "I am the door." And in John 15:1, he said, "I am the vine." And this morning, we take a look at almost the very last one where he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." All these things talk about the divinity of the God-man, that Jesus Christ, not merely a man, but 100% God, 100% man, the God-man. He is the one who laid down his life for us on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to begin reading in John chapter number 14, and starting in verse number 1 out of the New King James Translation. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, would you lift them up just for a moment? Good, good. Always like to see who brought their scriptures. If you didn't bring yours with you this morning, you may find one in the pew in front of you. And if not, then kind of take a look around and see somebody that you want to get to know a little bit better and take a look at their scriptures. And you'll find the book of John in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? John. So we're in John chapter number 14. And listen to what is said, and starting in John 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Verse 5, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" What a good question. How can we know the way? And it seems like that's a good question for every generation, for someone to give an answer to. How can we know the way? What Jesus is about to say is very inclusive. Listen to what he says. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Notice what Jesus says of himself. It's very exclusive. He says, Jesus said, "I am the way." And when he said that, he was being very exclusive, that there was no other way to get to the Father except through him. Do you see that in the scripture? No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the way. And it brings you to the thought that there are many paths to the top of the mountain, as many people have said. But Jesus said there is a broad path and there is a narrow path to me. And I remember when I began to start thinking of my own theology when I was about 16 years old, I had started to read some materials, spiritual materials, and one was by a guy by the name of Cahill Cabrim, and he was a spiritualist out of the Middle East. And I began to look at other different poetries and writers. And I had formulated in my mind at that old age of 16 that there were many pathways to get to the top. No matter what you worshiped, there were many pathways there. that you could worship dolphins, cows, Muhammad, that you could worship stars, you could worship, again, the horoscope, whatever. I really thought that in my mind. But Jesus is very exclusive. Listen to what he said. I am the way. And there's no other way to get through the Father except through him. He repeats the same message over in 1 John chapter number 1. He says, those who don't have the Son do not have the Father. But if you have the Son, you have the Father. Listen, I know it's not politically correct. I know it's not culturally correct. But I want to tell you this morning, right from God's Word, that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. It is the only way, the only path to get to the Heavenly Father. Now, someone may ask, what does that mean? God doesn't hear our prayers. The Bible says that our intercessor is Jesus Christ. We must go to the intercessor, Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews says that we can approach the throne of God boldly. How? Not through our good works, but through the blood of Jesus Christ. The way. He's the only way. It's in a very exclusive path. And my dear friend, there is no other way. Now, I talk to folks a lot, you know, and sit down and talk, and they want to talk to the chaplains or the preacher, and they want to talk about, you know, different pathways to get there and how insensitive I must be if I only believe there's one way. My dear friend, I did not make the rules, amen? And if I believe that Jesus Christ is God wrapped in human flesh, and he's telling me, and I know he's saying it because it's written in red, listen, but it's a testimony right there. He said of himself, I am the way. There is no other way. Now, I had a privilege to be able to speak at a prayer breakfast as the guest speaker this past week. For the prayer breakfast in Blackstone. And we had a lot of different folks all assembled there. And I count it as an honor and a privilege to be able to speak to a group. And there were clergymen and different people there from their congregations. And we began to discuss about how things are so rapidly changing in our world that we live in. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you just watch the cartoons from the time you we're growing up to today, let me tell you what, they are crazy. They're downright rude. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, things are changing so quick. It just blows my mind. And then I was listening this past week. I came home all upset, and I was telling Colleen about it because I have no one else to vent to, about how Sports Illustrated is going to use Bruce Jenner as their poster person for their magazine, and it's going to be waist up, it's going to be nude from the bottom down. He'll only be covered with his old Olympic medal. And this is what is seen, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm ready to blow a circuit, you know. I'm ready to just have a meltdown. I just can't believe, and things are changing rapidly. They're changing so fast. Who puts this in a magazine? And I get all upset, but I got to remember what they need is the way. They need Jesus. And when I was speaking at the prayer breakfast, I was telling them things have so drastically changed so quick that it's hard for me to keep up with it. But there's one thing, listen, as a pastor and as a Christian, and I told them I was a Christian first and a Southern Baptist by choice. I said, there's one thing that won't change, and it's because it cannot be changed, and that is Jesus Christ is the way. There is no other way. Now, I saw some frowny faces, saw some people that disagreed because, you know, we've got clergymen out there who are all things to all people, you know, star worshipers, all kind of craziness, and, you know, you can worship whatever, and we don't want to judge one another. My dear friend, we got to tell them what the way is, because if they're lost when they die and they get there, they're going to find they missed the way. And it's our job to tell them the way. Listen, church, there is no other way. If the pathway is right or left and you go right, you're going in the wrong direction when you must go left. If we send them in the wrong direction because we want to be politically correct or not insensitive to people. You're really, in the long run, being very insensitive because you don't care whether they find the way or not. So we either mum it and say nothing, or we compromise with some wishy-washy statement like, whatever's good for you, man. You know, they're sitting around with their legs crossed in some kind of yoga stance and and you know, we're just nodding our head and it's all good. It's all fine. But listen, we cannot compromise. Listen, Christian, we cannot compromise. Listen, believer, we cannot compromise. Listen, dear saint of God, listen, we cannot compromise that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. You say, preacher, what's up with you this morning? You're fired up. Listen, let me just use an illustration. Acts chapter number 16, the book of Philippians. They're down in the inner prison, Paul and Silas. And as they're down in the inner prison, they begin to sing and they begin to pray. And as they do that, you know the song, the story. They're down in the inner prison. It's dark, it's dank, it's horrible. And all of a sudden, the chains break and as they come out of the inner prison, the jailer knows he's going to have to kill himself because his prisoner is escaping. And he says, he's getting ready to kill himself. Paul says, do thyself no harm. And as he gets ready to kill himself, he says, what must I do to be saved? That's a good question. Same kind of question Thomas asked. Well, we don't know what the way is. What is the way? Well, how do we get there? Well, the Philippian jailer is asking the same question. Well, you know, what must I do to be saved? Well, Paul didn't say, well, let me see, what do you believe? What do you believe? Well, I believe if I kill myself and I'm worshiping pagan gods, that God's just going to bless me, or the gods will bless me. That's not what he said. He said, believe on the name of what? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty exclusive. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what will happen? You will be saved. Wow. I like that answer. And I think Jesus answered Thomas in the same way. How do we get there? How do we know the way? Because I am the way. Notice the other thing is, he said he is the truth. He is the truth. I am the way. And it says he is the truth. Now, my mama and my wife told me what the truth is. See, I you might not believe this, but I like to exaggerate. I like to spin yarns and tell, you know, pick on people and give folks a hard time. And, you know, when I tell my stories, I kind of embellish them a little bit. You know, and I used to really be bad at it. I'm good now. But my mom and my wife, they kind of, I guess they joined in together, I'm not sure, but anything other than the truth is a lie. If it's not exactly the truth, it's a what? It's a lie. I mean, I'll use an illustration. I'm joking all the time, and I had a church bulletin made with a picture of the church on the front of it, and it was the new church bulletin for the church, and everybody was sitting in the congregation, and several weeks prior to that, I'd preached out of the Ten Commandments, talking about a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. There is no such thing. If it's not all the truth, then it is a lie, no matter what else. And I said that, I don't know how many times during that sermon. Well, several weeks later, we got the new church bulletin, and all the people were looking at it, ooh and on. You know how Baptists are crazy about church bulletins. Amen, Sharon? I mean, it's got, you know, It's the gospel, our church bulletin. And they were looking at it. And I said, look real hard and you'll see me looking through the front doors at the church, waving through the window. First, everybody laughed. And until after the sermon, and a little boy came up to me. His name was Timmy Cochran. And he came up to me and he said this, Pastor, I looked real hard and I didn't see you in the picture in the church. And I said, well, I'm not really in there. I said, a lie is a lie is a lie is a lie. See, the truth is the truth. And the truth will set you free. The truth is what you can count on. A lie is something that just makes you feel good or covers up a mistake. But Jesus is no mistake, and Jesus is the truth. He is so much the truth that the apostles were willing to die because they believed from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet, to the end of their fingertips, from the outside of the skin all the way to their heart. Listen, they believed the truth that Jesus Christ was God wrapped in human flesh, who had gone to the cross of Calvary, who sustained their punishment on that cross, who died on that cross, who went to the grave. And listen, they believed the truth that he died, and yet, but they believed the truth that he resurrected. See, he is the truth, 100%. In theological circles today, there are many who doubt or try to add to that. And some of the new theologies, thank God I'm not in seminary any longer, but some of the theologies that are pouring out in our mainline denominations are theologies such as Jesus Christ died, but his resurrection really wasn't a physical one, it was a spiritual one. As in though his body, you know, they're not sure what happened to it, but that he had a spiritual resurrection, and then he went to go be with the Father. Because see, dead men don't raise, and you don't see it, but a spiritual one, as we will have a spiritual resurrection as well. And they preach this from the pulpits. My friend, that's not the truth. I mean, you'd have to discount some large portions of text out of the Bible to believe that there is only a spiritual resurrection. You know, you would have to really actually think about it. You'd go over to the tomb, they'd seal it up, and that'd be the end of the story. And then, because when they all showed up to the tomb, the Bible said they saw no one in there except for his linen folded up, right? The angel said, he's not here. Where is he? He's risen. So, but you'd have to discount that from the scriptures. And my dear friend, that's what they do. They begin to discount the scriptures and they begin to take away from the authenticity and the authorship of God's word. Then therefore, this word of God becomes null and void within the congregation. And the pastor gets up as a bad shepherd to the sheep and he begins to preach out of the Reader's Digest, hello, I'm Joe's kidney. Or he begins to talk about how he planted flowers and aren't flowers beautiful for a 10-minute homily, which gives no spiritual food or sustenance to the sheep. See, the truth doesn't have to be agreed on. If it is the truth, it's the truth. Amen? This morning, my dear wife was cleaning out the van, doing some different things with it, and my grandson, Bowen. How many of you know Bowen? Bowen was sick all week. And Bowen's brother got his homework for him for the whole week. And Nana sat down with him day before yesterday and did his homework with him, not doing it for him, but she makes him do it. I'd rather eat glass, but because it's hard to keep his attention. But she stays with it because she's a nurturer. She's the mama. She's the grandmama. She's going to stick with it, right? I'm too lazy. But, and Bowen's like me, we'd rather do something else. But so she does it. They're all proud. He brags on it. Well, this morning while she's cleaning out the van, she goes back and, you know, the little things behind the front seats. When Bowen got his homework, he took half of it and put it in there. He was so proud of a lie. Not the truth. Well, Nana being the Nana she is, she made a phone call this morning over there to let him know she found the rest of the homework. And today he would be spending some time doing the rest of his homework. See, the truth is the truth. And lies will be uncovered. Now, he's acting innocently, but he's also acting mischievously. But the truth is the truth. can't skirt around it. Either Jesus is the way, and that's the truth, or is not. And if he is the truth, we have nothing to be ashamed of. We can't misguide people by telling people that it's not the 100% truth. Because my friend, he is. See, I believe he is the truth. I'm staking my life on it. I'm standing on a firm foundation. Are you this morning? Do you believe that he's the truth? Or have you bought into the world that, you know, 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, but it equals 5? That everybody gets an award. How many of you have been keeping up with that? New school grades. Now, you don't get graded for the truth. You get graded for effort. So if you put on your paper 2 + 2 = 5, well, you still get a good grade because you had effort. But you're not rewarded that much because you said that it's actually the truth. I mean, we're living in a society today that everybody wants to be right about everything and nobody wants to be wrong about anything, so we don't want to say anything. We don't even want to tell people the truth. We just say nothing. My dear friend, the apostles believed in the truth. And throughout the last 2,000 years, many people have died martyrs' deaths because they believe he is the truth. Not only is he the way, but he is the truth. Look at the last part of that, and it says this. I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I like it that Jesus is the life. You know, because it gives us a light at the end of the tunnel to look forward to when this journey is over with. Does that make sense? He is the life. See, we're living life now, but it's just in a temporary state. It's just in a short journey. We're just passing through. This is not our home. Y'all get that, right? And as it is that Jesus Christ is the life gives us hope, gives us wonderful hope. Throughout my years of pastoring, I've always really gravitated toward that. It keeps me from being sad when I walk out to the graveyards for all the church members I've buried over the last 30 years of ministry, or for the soldiers that I've been doing their funeral honors at Arlington Cemetery and elsewhere, those who believed in Jesus Christ. I was encouraged while I stood there, believing that one day, that they have, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, that they were going to receive not only this life, but eternal life through Jesus Christ. I just have this, it may not be right, but it says that we have a great cloud of witnesses that are cheering for us. It also says in the Bible to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. See, I kind of think in my mind when I'm standing there and knowing they're believers and church members and Christians, and that as I'm standing there at their graveside, I just got this theology in my mind. They're just kind of looking down on me. I know some of you have taken a path that they're kind of become ghosts and creep around the earth. My dear friend, it does not say that in the scriptures. We go to be with the Lord. And another misconception is nobody becomes angels. Nobody becomes an angel. You got that out of Hollywood, but you didn't get it out of the Bible. Angels are angels. They're created being by God. Human beings are human beings, and that's who Christ died for. Human beings, not angels. We are uniquely made as individuals, as human beings, and Christ died for us. We do not become angels, but we do have the wonderful expectancy that if we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ to go be with him forevermore. See, I believe that. That's the thing that encourages me. I just have this sense that as I'm there doing their service, funeral service, or whatever, that, and you know, that they're kind of looking down on me, not walking around the face of the earth haunting people. If we could do that, there's a few people I'd get. But I can't, because when I die, I'm going to go to be in heaven with the Lord. And when I'm doing that service, I just sense they're looking down on me going, Oh, those tears. Pastor JD, wait till you get here. You know, you can't even imagine how good it is. Everybody down there standing around in the rain with black jackets and umbrellas, it's a blast up here. Because I have now eternal life. And listen, I believe that. I believe it so much, I know it's the only thing that carries me through on some days. You've heard it before. I told you my mom passed away about 4 or 5 years ago, on August 23rd, I believe it was. And we had a big earthquake here in Virginia. That's how I remember it. You remember the earthquake about 4 years ago? And my mom passed away that evening. I told my oldest brother, I said, I know, because mom had 6 boys. I said, I know why mom chose that day to pass away, because somebody would have blamed one of her boys for the earthquake. But I remember, and I remember seeing her a few weeks prior to her passing away. My mom's last words to me were, as I laid my head on her chest, her last words to me were this, was exactly this: I will see you on the other side. Be a good boy. And I remember just starting to cry, and she started to rub the back of my head. Wasn't much hair there then either, and she just pulled me close to her, and I just tried to man up and not cry, 50 years old. And I was still walking down the hallway and just couldn't help myself then. And I just started blubbering and crying and made my way out to the parking garage. And I'm telling you, last place to cry is a parking garage, especially if you're loud. This is echoing throughout the entire parking garage, and people are getting out of their cars looking like, what is it? Somebody shooting an elk or what? What's going on in here? And I remember getting my car and just sobbing, and I remember talking to the Lord and just saying, God, this is probably one of the most painful things I've ever had to face, and that's the loss of my mom. But I remember I remember just a calm peace that came over me that he had it. This was okay. He was going to take care of her. It didn't take away my grief, take away my sadness, but it returned to me my joy. Does that make sense? See, happiness and joy are two different things, aren't they? And I had the joy of my salvation, knowing that he is the way, that I confidently could say he was the truth. And I know he is the life. He is the God-man, the creator of all heaven and earth. And if he can do that, create something out of absolute nothing, he was going to resurrect my mama again. It gives you a whole different outlook on life. Jesus said to Thomas, how do we go? How will we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know him this morning? That's the question. If you don't, this morning, listen, I can't do it for you, but I can tell you 100% for sure that you can do it right where you are. You can bow your head in the next few minutes and you can say, Lord Jesus, I'm right here. I know I'm a sinner. I know that I need my salvation in you. I believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life, and I come and give myself to you. Take me as I am, Lord. And he will. And what comes along with that, your acknowledgement will meet up with God's grace and mercy, and automatically you'll be justified. Will you do that this morning if you don't know him? Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this morning and we thank you that you gave us your written word through the Holy Spirit. And that, Lord, that you used John to be able to pen these things out of the things that you said and how miraculous they are, and how you're still in the business of saving souls. Father, whether it be here in Chesterfield or in another country in a foreign land, you're still in the business of saving souls. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the promises that you keep. And Lord, we celebrate who you are and what you are and what you do for us, for the Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that gives us a joy and a comfort as you use your word to teach us, to grow us, to mature us in our walk. Father, we look forward to that day for all those who've lost loved ones who know Christ Jesus, that we will reunite in that better place, in that city that was not built with men's hands. Father, we love you, we adore you, we thank you. Ask us in the blessed name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.